Father, we thank you that because of the blood of Jesus and his resurrection, we can stand boldly before the throne of grace, that we can call you our Father, that we are your heirs and co-heirs with Christ. God, that we stand not in our own righteousness, but that of Jesus, imputed to us through the saving work. What we do not have, you would give us, and what we are not, you would make us by your Spirit, through your word. It's in Christ we pray. Amen.
I'm so excited. I'm going to talk a little.
To open God's word with you this morning. As we do, we're going to spend time this morning, I hope, unpacking the importance of joy. So we're going to do that from the several different places, to be honest. And of course, this is a week where we're going to be in a lot of different verses. So I'm not sure we're going to have screens, and if you're going to have on the screen, so I would encourage you to have your copy out. And if you need to have your phone and start looking, I would encourage you to have it, because I want us to read it. So John chapter 16 is where we're going to start. We're going to move to several different places. And as we do, Chad asked me a couple of months ago, he said, hey, will you be willing to teach these dates? And anytime he asked me to teach, I'm always terrified and nervous and excited and all of these different emotions coming up at me. And my first question is always, well, what do you want me to teach on? Like, what passage are we in? Or what topic are we trying to teach? And it is the most terrifying thing. He says, you will tell me what I'm teaching. I'll go study, I'll go read, I'll go listen, I'll go watch, I'll go do all the things. Just tell me what it is. Well, he did not. If you have been here for a while and you've heard me teach before, about 80% of the time that he doesn't give me something to teach, I go to 1 John. It is my favorite book and I love it so much. Well, Chad has ruined that for me, because in the fall he decided to do an entire series on 1 John. Now I feel like I have to give that a rest. So here we are this morning, and he did not give me a passage to go from. And so as I began to wrestle through what it was, I felt like God was telling me that we needed to wrestle through, that we needed to talk about. I was reminded, oh boy, I have just been in a season since the beginning of the year that has been a struggle. That has been ahead. That thing after thing after thing is just went not the way that I would want. And I'll be transparent. For those of you that were here, it was a beautiful thing. I am super thankful that Chad or our church had chosen to go through the Book of Lamentations. Because with the season that my family's been in, and even some of the families that we're close to in the church, it was a blessing, a good reminder. And his word actually speak to hard things. And I'm super grateful for that. So that was a beautiful gift that God, man, I think just bestowed on me. And I'm not deserving of that, but I'm thankful for it. But one of the things that I've struggled with a lot in this season has been joy. And I think if you have been in rough seasons, you understand that that is something that at times feels difficult to grasp. But I believe it's important. Now, here's what I know. I know that given that I have been worried, because, well, first off, it's not about me. It's not about my joy. It's about God, right? That's where my head goes. And if I start worrying about my joy and I start worrying about happiness, well, then now I'm just being selfish and I'm not caring for those around me. Or maybe worst off, talk about, think about, worry about happiness and joy too much, I might slip into that prosperity gospel camp, and I can't do that. Get worried about these things. And so this morning, I'm going to preach to myself, and you just get to listen. Because when I look to Scripture, and not just one place, but across the breadth of it, this theme of God's people having joy is there everywhere. And it's not even just that they would have it, but like consistently throughout the Psalms, throughout different spots in the Old Testament, then we look to the New Testament, we see what things that Jesus said, and then things that the apostles said in the epistles. There's actually this command to rejoice. It's consistent. And so, church, this morning, I need to be reminded that joy is important, and it is a good thing, and we ought to make much of it. So I lead in with that. I want to just read some passages just to remind us. Psalms 16:11, you reveal the path of life to me, and your presence is abundant joy. At your right hand are eternal pleasures. Psalms 30, verse 5, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor a lifetime. Weeping may stay overnight, but there is joy in the morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. That's Psalms 118. Proverbs 17, verse 22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Psalms 5, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them shout for joy forever. May you shelter them, and may those who love your name boast about you. Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. 1 Thessalonians 5, John 15, verse 11, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. I could go on with more and more passages if we really wanted to spend all morning just reading about this joy that God's people are to have and that God's people do have. So, church, I need to remember, and I want you to remember, that just because our world pursues joy and happiness and delight in ways that are wrong and bad and that are not okay, doesn't make joy, happiness a bad thing. John chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 16. I would love for you to kind of read along with me as we do this, because we're going to spend a little bit more time in this one. John 16, Jesus is with the disciples, and he is getting close to be taken by the guards, by the Roman guards. He has preached a lot already and done a lot of different things, and we're coming close to that point when he's going to be taken away. And so Jesus says some things to the disciples here and confuses them. I'm going to read. Verse 16, a little while, and you will no longer see me. Again, a little while, and you will see me. Then some of his disciples said to one another, what is this he's telling us? A little while, and you will not see me. Again, a little while, and you will see me. And because I am going to the Father, they said, what is this he is saying? A little while. We don't know what he's talking about. Jesus knew they wanted to ask him, and so he said to them, are you asking one another about what I said? A little while and you will not see me. Again, a little while and you will see me. Truly, I tell you, you will meet, weep, and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will become sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the suffering because of the joy that a person has been born into the world. So you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy from you. In that day, you will not ask me anything. Truly, I tell you, anything you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. Church, when we look at this passage, and not just this passage, but, man, passages across all of Scripture, joy is not a bad thing. So here's what we're going to do. If I could break this down into 3 points, like 5-paragraph essay style. Intro, point one, point two, point three, conclusion, right? Here we go, point one, that I want us to know this morning, and I want us to be reminded of. God wants you to have joy. God wants you to have joy. Both in the John 15 verse I read right before, just a chapter back from this John 16 little segment that we ran, Jesus tells his disciples that he is doing things so that they could have joy. The actual purpose of what he's doing right now and the things that he's telling them is so that they could have joy. What he is doing is so that his people could have joy. He tells them God the Father wants to answer their questions, literally to bring them joy, answer their request to bring joy. The world around us is in a constant state of just searching for pleasure and enjoyment and satisfaction all the time. Instant gratification is just what everybody is about. So I think what happens is we see the world outside going after things that don't actually bring joy, that maybe bring like this instantaneous, quick hit of happiness or of some amount of joy, but it's fleeting, and we go, that's bad. And church, I would say it is, but sometimes. We, and by we, I mainly mean me, but if I had my guess, some of you in the room get to this point too, equate that or move that into the place of joy itself isn't something to be desired, isn't something that we should care about, that we should be about. Church, the God of the universe, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator of the universe actually cares about your joy. He wants your joy. So church, I don't want us to allow the brokenness of the world and their terrible way of pursuing what God has as a good thing to rob us and to cause us to shy away from or to make less of or to distract us from the fact that God wants our joy, and that joy is a good thing. Because the pursuit that the world has in and of itself is not the problem. It's what they're pursuing, thinking it will give them the joy. Wanting to have happiness and joy at face value is not wrong. Assuming that you can find that in these broken things is where it becomes very problematic. Point two. The church needs to see your joy. I think when we look at the breadth of Scripture, and I could go back and read these again, but I could go to the Psalms and read all of these examples of where the writer of the Psalms is telling the people, rejoice. Right? Rejoice means to literally display your joy, show your joy. The psalmist is telling us to show your joy to the world, or declaring that the people, in response to what God has done, are rejoicing. It feels like every other chapter you see it. I could go to Proverbs 17, telling us that a joyful heart is good medicine. But a crushed spirit dries up the bones. The word rejoice, to show, to display. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Hey, so church, if you're unsure what to do, if you're unsure how to actually pursue God, 1 Thessalonians tells us these three things. Rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in everything. That is the will of God. The first thing is rejoice always. Here's the beautiful part. We can even look to other letters that Paul wrote, or my favorite, 1 John. John almost quotes Jesus and says, hey, I'm writing these things to you so that your joy may be complete. The one that I want to use this morning, though, go to Philippians with me. Philippians chapter 4. Turning pages. I love it. So Philippians chapter 4, we're almost to the end of Philippians, and up to this point, Paul has done a lot of things, and he has declared a lot of truth to these people, and he has encouraged them in certain ways and pushed on them in certain ways. But here at the end, the section title, starting in verse 2, in my Bible says practical counsel. And so at this point, he's wrapping up, and he's literally giving them just this practical kind of just quick hitters, okay? I'm going to read it. Yes, I also ask you, true partner, to help these women who have contended for the gospel at my side, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Paul is talking to a church and to a group here who have some sort of disagreement with one another. These two women apparently cannot get along, and we don't even know exactly what's going down. But his practical counsel is you have to agree with one another. Hey, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. As if one of the best ways to like love one another well here is to actually rejoice in the Lord. Because here's the deal, church, right? When I rejoice in the Lord, it becomes very difficult for me to be really worried about whatever little personality thing I don't like about you. Not only that, but man, when I see you rejoice in the Lord, I'm reminded of the loving kindness of Jesus on the cross. I'm reminded of the source of your joy, and I'm brought to this point where I can be encouraged and built up and point toward the source of my joy. Because the thing that would bring us together week in and week out and bring us to this point where we would want to sit in a place here with technical difficulties and all kinds of things going on is that we agree that there is joy that cannot be taken away. And so Paul tells these people to rejoice always. Again, I will say rejoice. Church, brothers and sisters, I need to see your joy. For my walk with Jesus' sake, I need to see your joy. Chad talked about it last week. Part of following God, I believe, is us being in community with one another. And one of the things that we do together, that we're commanded to do together, is to sing together, to shout to the Lord together, to be together, and to rejoice together. I think a good portion of that is so that we would be reminded of one another's joy. I need to see your joy. I need to hear you rejoice. I think you need to hear me rejoice. Point number three. If I could give a third point. On my wrong paper. The world needs to see your joy. You see, when we look to the world and our first inclination is to go, what are you doing? Why would you do that? How come you are so about all of these evil things? We're right. They're about a lot of evil things. And they pursue a lot of things that don't bring joy. But at the root of a lot of that is them actually trying to find joy. Like seeking out pleasure and happiness and good. That's a natural thing that all of us do, us included, by the way. Here's the deal, church. As they go and they pursue these things that we would say are wrong and bad and that the scripture continues to tell us are wrong and bad and not okay, we sit blessed with a gift of a joy that cannot be taken away. So the very thing that they crave, that they want, that they need in their life, so much so that they would devote their lives to things that don't make any sense and that don't actually bring any sort of real, lasting happiness or joy, we have. The world needs to see our joy. In some way, God has chosen to invite us into this process of Him drawing people to Himself in a way that when I rejoice, it doesn't make sense to the world, but they go, well, I'll try anything at this point because guess what? All of these things aren't working. So God is sweet and invites us in, those that have been given a gift that we don't deserve, to literally show to the world there is someone who would bring joy that can't be taken away. And so church, it is a beautiful thing that God would allow us to enjoy Him and then rejoice aloud, rejoice together, displaying for the world that the answer to their pursuit is not in all of these earthly things. And so as we just take a look at the breadth and the grand narrative, I think that God is about Himself and He is about bringing glory to Himself and He is about us making much of Him. But in His beautiful grand plan, He has given us this awesome thing that is joy. We get to delight in and have gladness in, and literally feel good about who He is and what He has for us and the good gifts He gives. And so God wants you to have joy. And that's a good thing. We need one another's joy. We need to hear and see one another rejoice in God. And last but not least, the world needs to see your joy. They need to see the answer to the pursuit that they continue to go after, not finding answers anywhere else. So, church, we're coming towards the end, but as we do, the band's going to come up in just a second. You guys know that one of the things we do each week, if you've been here before, if you're not, I'm super glad you're here. What we're going to do here in a few minutes is we're going to take communion together. And if you are a believer in the room, even if you're not a member here yet or not at all, like, if you're a believer, if you've trusted in Jesus, if you have that joy that cannot be taken away, we invite you to come and take communion with us. If you are not a believer, we would ask that you don't. And let me just say, that's not because we don't like you, but when we take it, we're declaring this is our hope. This is our joy. So for you to take would just, you don't believe that. So we would ask that you abstain. And so church, as you take this morning, I just want to encourage you. Rejoice. take with joy. Number one, enjoy the fact that the God of the universe would choose to come and go to the cross. As he told us in John 16, right? I am going away for what purpose? So that you may have joy that no one could take from you. Enjoy the beautiful thing that is Jesus. If you are not a believer in the room, I hope and pray this morning that I hope and pray that if you're hurting and you have sought joy and happiness and pleasure in all places and you still come up empty, come up reeling, having to take another hit of whatever it might be, trying to find this joy that would last, I hope and pray that you would know that there is joy in the person of Jesus. And so I hope and pray this morning that you'd come talk to me or talk to one of the other elders or life group leaders or somebody about that. I want you to know Jesus. I want you invited into this joy that the Holy Spirit brings. And here's what we're going to do. The last thing we're going to do, and the band is on their way up as we do this. We're going to do something different. It's not that different, but it's a little different to end our time like studying the Word. I want us to read together Psalm 16. So I thought this was going to be on the screen, but it's not. So Psalm 16, I really need you to turn here. If you haven't turned anywhere yet, turn there now. Because here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read Psalm 16, and when I get to verses 9 through 11, I want us to stand and say it aloud together, rejoicing together. Because I believe we need to hear one another do that. I believe we literally have to even practice this. And so I'm going to read verses 9 through 11 really quick, just so you've heard it and you can think and dwell on it even as I read the other parts, so that as you say them, I hope that it would stir joy and that as you say them out loud, you would be rejoicing together. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My body also rests securely, for you will not abandon me to Sheol. You will not allow your faithful one to see decay. You reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. At your right hand are eternal pleasures. So I'm going to read. I'm going to start in verse 1 of chapter 16. And once I get to verse 9, will you join me for verses 9 through 11? If you will stand so that as we read, we can shout this together. Protect me, God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have nothing good besides you. As for the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones. All my delight is in them. The sorrow of those who take another God for themselves will multiply. I will not pour out their drink offerings of blood, and I will not speak their names with my lips. Lord, you are my portion and my cup of blessing. You hold my future. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who counsels me. Even at night when my thoughts trouble me, I always let the Lord guide me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My body also rests securely, for you will not abandon me to Sheol. You will not allow your faithful one to see decay. You reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. At your right hand are eternal pleasures. God, thank you. Thank you that you came to the earth. You came, you lived a perfect life, you died. God, so we could have joy. So we could rest securely in the finished work of Jesus. God, let us rejoice today.